like a small boat. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another season of Coffee with Your Counselors. We're just two counselors chatting it up every week at Uni High. We want to travel with you on a week-to-week basis, talking about all the things that might be helpful for you as high schoolers to navigate life. Our passion is helping people, and our hope is that you know that you're not alone through it all. So grab your biscotti and get comfy in your chair, and be with us for this next half hour of Coffee with Your Counselors. This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song. My power's turned on. Starting right now, I'll be.
Welcome back to Coffee with the Counselors. I'm Miss Diedrich, and I'm here with Miss Amy and our very special guest today. Lisa Maselli is joining us, because she's an expert on many a things.
Yes.
How's everybody doing?
Good. Thank you for the invite. I'm excited to be with you.
You're like our favorite repeat guest. I think this is probably the third episode that we've had you on. So thank you.
I'm honored. Thank you.
Yeah. VIP.
And I've got we've got other topics I'm sure we can delve into even in the future.
Yeah. But today we wanted to highlight advanced placement tests because that is a hot topic at our school because for many reasons, but I know that there's kind of been a growing number of students who have been thinking about APs that sign up and take APs every year. And then because a lot of the different information and misinformation that's out there, it causes a lot of anxiety that make people feel like they need to take APs. So we wanted to welcome you to Coffee to talk to us about all the ways that we can demystify and debunk all the crazy information that happens surrounding APs. Because AP information that might be relevant for one school is not relevant for another school, you know? So just because somebody retrieves information that is accurate at Central or Centennial or Urbana is not accurate at Uni. So
bring it on. Let's have this conversation.
You said you could do this in your sleep, Lisa. So
well, ironically, we were talking about this in every single health class because part of my role is to talk about just holistic admissions to start helping these freshmen understand that they might be framing things in accurate ways. And lo and behold, APs always get brought up. So this is a wonderful topic to talk about.
Yeah. So maybe we can first start with just what are AP exams?
And so, sorry. Is this better?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay. For the listeners out there in podcast land, my microphone was actually listening to the pulse of my neck and not my voice. And now Amy and Christy are so happy they can hear me. Sorry.
That sounds great.
Okay, good. You were just picking up my heart rate. That's all.
Yes. So what are AP exams and why are they just important in general?
So the College Board that governs the Advanced Placement Program, it is a curriculum that is used by many schools that are seeking to have a rigorous curriculum. So in many high schools, if you go and you have a regular track, an honors track, an advanced track, they will have an AP track. An AP then for that school is considered the rigorous, most rigorous classes you can get. The goal of the AP exam, which is the College Board has a prescribed curriculum that if you use it as a school, you have to use and abide by. And the exam, which is standardized then, is the same exam that everyone takes. So when high schools around the country have different grading systems, colleges are wondering, is there grade inflation at this school? How rigorous is rigorous? The national AP exams are kind of, again, a standardized way of showing, if you subscribe to those programs, rigor that is consistent across schools that use the same curriculum and give the same May exam for APs. With that said, it has to fit a pedagogy of your school. It has to fit a mission of your school. So that kind of defines that advanced placement is a curriculum in your school that then can be used potentially if you do well on the exam. It's not just taking the class, it's taking the exam to potentially get advanced placement in college, to potentially save tuition dollars, to maybe even give you advanced standing in a college. So it really is a system that some colleges, I'm sorry, some high schools buy into and use, and other high schools say, no, we're not going to use that curriculum. We have our own.
One criticism, I guess, I have heard about people who do, not criticism, but like a critique, I guess, of people who do teach the AP or are teachers in AP classes that say that they don't have any wiggle room to go outside of the AP curriculum because there's so much content to cover in order for students to, be able to take the test at the end of the year. So they can't really stray from that or do kind of, curriculum that they might want to explore more of, they can't do that because it's so strict to the AP exam. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely agree with you that teachers who are teaching the AP curriculum will often share that they feel like it is a moving train of content and you can get behind so quickly that it induces stress, that sometimes you have to start AP curricular materials over the summer. Otherwise, you will never finish it to be prepared for that. It's very content driven. Some of it is very much regurgitation and memorization. So, based on our brain research and how adolescents learn, and we all know everyone even has different learning styles, it can be a curriculum that even can feel very very rigid to a teacher. It feels very heavy. I remember when we saw the documentary over at the Krannert Museum, the AP teachers on that documentary that was working with high achieving students were just saying, God, it's hard. It never stops. It never stops. So I think they have so much that has to be tested. The teachers feel like they are, kind of handcuffed to this curriculum, that it kind of will drive the frenzy at some schools, where I think, honestly, I couldn't be more proud to work at a school that hasn't bought into the APs. I think it's healthier. I think that high achieving kids who, if they do want to show mastery or they think they're just good at testing, can opt into a test. But the curriculum itself doesn't lend itself to a lot of the freedoms and problem-based learning and collaborative learning that a lot of high schools are striving for today.
Yeah,
So
that
who
makes
should
sense.
take AP tests, do you think? Who should
Who
take
is it?
AP?
Yeah, like who do you think that it's appropriate for?
So
Like grade level and maybe more deeper than that.
well, the hard thing is that APs are offered where even a freshman can be ready for the exam, a sophomore can be ready for the exam, especially if they're being taught the material to cover what's in the exam. At uni, because we are a school that has said, I would guess since our beginning of time, it's been definitely since I started here in 93, we are a school that has excellence without AP. We are a school that can basically teach curriculum based on the expertise and passion areas of the teacher. And the whole point of our lab school is to have innovative curriculum, which, if you purchase the curriculum from the AP, that's not innovative. That's purchasing a standardized curriculum that everyone else is using. So, like I said, it goes against our pedagogy. So, if you go to uni, if the question is who should take a test if you go to a non-AP school, sometimes what I'm seeing at our school is we have students who just feel like I should be taking these. Like, if I don't take them, I'm behind. Or I think that it's going to make me look better down the road if I take all of these APs because I'm applying against kids that come from AP schools. Sorry, now I'm kind of popping on this mic. So I guess I would be saying students at uni, if they are going to decide to take one, have to make a very serious decision. It's a lot of self-studying on their own. They're not in alignment with what is happening in the class to take that exam. And they really can talk to the teachers. They can come and talk to us to decide. But there are various, there's a difference between should I take an AP exam because I'd like college in the, I want credit in college if I go to a certain school, or should I take an AP exam because I think it's going to make me look more academically, have more strengths and be more curious? I think those are the two questions we get a lot. Will it make me look better as an applicant? Or how much money can I save in tuition if I have these credits? Those are usually the two driving questions.
And the answer is for both of those, your favorite, right?
It depends. That's the answer. It depends. You're absolutely right, Christy. And we didn't even plan that out, but you're right. Because it again, like I will say to students, how do you feel about taking these exams? Is this something that's coming from motivation from you, right? What is your purpose and your why? A lot of the times we just inherit students that feel like someone else is taking it, so I better do it too. And if all of a sudden you realize that they feel this pressure to take an exam that they have to now add into their busy life, study on their own, they have to make sure that they understand the test format because it's not being coached in other high schools with APs, they practice for these exams in class. So our students are adding this on. Now, traditionally, Uni High has always said the one department that actually teaches our kids at a level that they are organically prepared is math. Lots of our kids will take calculus. Lots of our kids will do very well on the calculus exam. A lot of our departments, though, don't understand why kids are taking APs. It's not what they're teaching. They're adding it into their busy life. What is their purpose and motivation, especially if they over-enroll? Why are they taking so many? Don't they understand they don't need these exams? So I think we're the office that sometimes has to balance. We are a resource-giving office. We never want a student not to know about an opportunity. But I do think we're learning all the time that how we even advertise and frame the conversation around these is so important because we are definitely a culture and a climate and a community that wants to take every opportunity that's afforded to them. And those are options, but it's not the best option for every kid.
If you, I mean, you have teenagers in your house, right? So let's imagine that they went to uni and they started talking about APs because their friends were talking about APs, and then they were saying similar things like, I feel behind. I better sign up for this AP because everybody else is doing it. What would you say as a mom?
As a mom, I would say, can I first put into context about what APs mean for a non-AP school? And I would say, because when you apply to college, it does not matter that you have these scores. As a matter of fact, the University of Illinois does not take AP scores into account when they are reading you for admissions. They don't take the scores into account. Now, if you go to Central Centennial or Urbana and have AP classes, of course, they're going to take into account that that's what you're studying on a daily basis in class. Therefore, uni doesn't offer those. So, guess what? There's nothing that they take into account for U of I admissions surrounding APs for us because we have no APs. And that blows a lot of kids' minds. I think they think if I'm applying into Granger, if I have a lot of AP scores in science, it's going to help me. They do not use AP scores to enhance admissions at all. So, because of the hat I wear, you're asking me to answer as a parent, but if I'm allowed to be the parent who's the college counselor in a school, I would be saying, why do you think you need those when your curriculum is not preparing you for the exam? Do you understand the level of work you'll have to do on your own, outside of homework, outside of extracurriculars? We obviously are worried about teens and sleep levels and self-care and balance. So what's your motivation? And if one of my children said, well, I heard it's going to help, then my head's going to explode. And I'm going to say, that's not true. You don't need those to be a more compelling applicant to college. Even in our talks that we do with freshmen all the time, and Christy will laugh, how many times do I say, a data point doesn't make you more interesting? It doesn't make you more compelling. It doesn't make you a better community member. Now, if we were having a conversation or I was talking with a uni family and they said, look, we know that they're going to stay at U of I or use the half tuition waiver because we work here for other state schools. APs can save you significant tuition dollars to get out of some of those big 100 level survey courses that sometimes are not that student friendly, right? It's less personalized. Sometimes it's the pressure of a midterm and a final. So, could you take a US history AP exam and potentially get credits towards graduation at a public state school, ease your load, and not have to take some of these 100 survey courses? Yes. Our former history teacher, Bill Sutton, used to say, I taught those classes. I would love for uni kids to get out of those if they could, especially if they're good at test taking and they're okay studying on their own because it could save them tuition dollars and get them out of these 100 level huge lecture halls. So again, the hard part about making decisions on APs is when we start promoting those, not every kid is already thinking of their college fit. They don't know where they're going to apply. They don't know if they're going to be at a big school, small school. Some small schools don't take AP credit. They don't want you placing out of anything. They expect you to get the 100 levels, learn the philosophy of the school, meet the professor, grow in that department. And why would they want you bypassing anything? So I think the hard part is a lot of our kids are making decisions on do I take these without really knowing, are they ever going to use the score? Will it be used by the college? And 100%, they need to know, and I keep preaching this, you don't need it to look more competitive. That is 100% true. So the only thing I think we can say to kids sometimes is, here are reasons why some kids take it. Here are reasons why you don't have to be afraid of not taking it. And also know, and Christy knows I've used this phrase all the time, if you take it, it's just an insurance policy. You've got the score, you either use it or you don't. If you bomb it, no one's going to know. There isn't one college in the country who will require you to send your AP score. It's not a part of our curriculum. It's not on our transcript. We literally don't manage your test scores at all. So if you take it and you don't do well, they're expensive. You took time to study, but it doesn't have to go anywhere. So I do feel like because of that, if there isn't an issue regarding test anxiety, if there isn't an issue regarding possibly the cost, if they don't actually get a fee waiver, if those are pretty costly. What are they up to now, Miss Amy? Like 130 a test? I mean,
135.
they're not cheap, right? And you go in and you pay that, and you get that AP score that comes out traditionally in June. You can take them only in May, so you have time. If you bypass it as a freshman, you can try it if you want as a sophomore. Again, if you bypass it, then you can try it as a junior. But honestly, we have senior panels where we bring in kids to talk to younger students. There's a lot that say, I've never taken an AP exam. So I think sometimes we have to be careful where we can sometimes jump on to like, oh, this is becoming a huge problem. I don't know if we necessarily think it is right now as a school. I don't know, Amy, if you've seen the registrations go up or the younger kids register more than ever. But I do think they miss class in May to take these exams. So they're missing uni curriculum while they're out taking exams. Obviously, they're stressed, they're studying, they're doing a lot of preparation on their own while they're already trying to keep their head above water with their uni academics, their extracurriculars, their family responsibilities, their sleep, their self-care. You know, they're busy kids. Why they want to take these, if they take them, I think requires the question, what's your motivation and what's your purpose? So that we can clarify things if they're jumping on a bandwagon that's going down the wrong path.
Let's say that they know that they really want to go to U of I. Like it's their dream to go to U of I. And they're seniors at this point. What would be a reasonable number of APs to take to get out of some of those like 100 level courses like you were talking about?
Now, okay, so what's nuanced about that question is because I have talked with students who have said, oh my God, I literally went to Barnes and Noble and picked up the AP Psych guide. I studied literally for 2 weekends and I got a five. They retain information quickly. They're able to test without anxiety. Testing has always been easy for them. And the next thing you know, they're just like, oh my God, I got like 9 hours of gen eds out of the way just by sitting for these exams. There are other kids that we know that that burden of even knowing a test is forthcoming would be very challenging to them, to the point where we can see them even start to just kind of shrink into themselves over the stress and the expectation and the feeling of, oh my God, what if I don't do well? So much of this, when you're electing to go into a testing system that is not required of you, there is nothing in our transcript that will ever tell a college this kid should be sitting for APs. We literally liberate our kids from that pressure, none at all. So, when you elect to go into this, this is an elected process. The question is also, what is your personality regarding and your anxiety level regarding test prep and testing? Because you can't take these cold. There's no way. You literally have to know that curriculum because that exam is 3 hours long.
Yeah, I just think that question in itself is difficult because, you know, they're applying to college. Like sometimes waiting until you know more about what your plans are after high school seems like that would be the best choice then to like take APs in our situation. But
Oh,
they're applying
yeah.
to college, you know, at that point. So like the time management that that takes away from probably studying for the APs like in the first semester, especially. And then, you know, it's too late to if you decide second semester. It's like, you know, you can still register, but you have to pay the late fee. So.
No, you're right, Christy, because again, Miss Amy said registration is in October, right? All those things start from Urbana High School is our partnership school to do this. Even a senior doesn't know where they're going, doesn't know where they end up depositing to May 1st if that school is even going to take AP credit. So a lot of this is just like, okay, am I going to sign up and not pay a late fee? And at least I'm scheduled for some that I think I might be able to do. And again, they're kids, right? You ask a senior who signed up in October how they feel in April, knowing the exams are next month, and most of them are like, why did I sign up for this? I think they have this fantasy in their mind that they're going to finish college apps in January and they're going to be studying for APs February, March, and April. Now, some kids might do that, especially if there's a lot of accountability from their parents. You know, I get it. That's a lot of money. You said, what would I say to my own children? I'd be like, look, if this is an investment, so therefore we need a contract. We need a contract that you're actually going to study for this. Because I'm not just going to pay $130 for you to walk in cold and hope you do well. There has to be some intentional connection to why you're sitting for this if that amount of money is going to be invested. But I do think sometimes, and again, some of our students will confess, I've always been really good at kind of doing things at the last minute and doing well on exams. But then there are other kids who I think they regret that it took over their spring semester of senior year right before they were going to graduate. They felt like the APs were a cloud hanging over their head.
Are there some students that you've spoken to that use APs to kind of dive deeper into an interest where they can use that on their college application to say, I wanted to learn more about this topic area, and therefore I did that? Or are
So
there
that.
other,
That's an interesting question. What I think I have a lot of kids ask sometimes, and I've been even in conversations with Miss B about this, because what we never want a kid to think is that if you sit for an AP exam, because remember, they can't take the class. We are not letting them register for the AP classes at Urbana High School. They are only sitting for an exam. That exam will never, ever replicate 9 or 18 or 36 weeks of learning in the classroom. I mean, the reality is it's just not the same. So when kids will sometimes feel like, if I show them this exam, is that going to impress the college, if that's the phrase we want to use, to show them how curious and interesting I am in something? There's no collaboration with anyone. There's no problem solving with anyone. You are just possibly sitting alone in a room studying to gun out an exam. So again, what are they trying to reflect? If they're trying to reflect skill sets and growth and curiosities, just showing that you're a good test taker and you never took the class, never had to work in class and solve problems, it's very different. Like, there are colleges who will tell school students, and I've been trying to tell students too. Let's say if a kid thought, what if I sit for the BC exam? And then I bypass Calc 2-3 at uni and I send the BC exam off. That is not a replica, that does not replace Calc 2-3. Never, it never will. Sitting in a class for 2 semesters with your peers, sitting in circles, having a teacher literally there with you 3 days a week, that is completely what the colleges would rather see over studying and gunning out a score. So I think that's why our kids really have to think about, if they think they're trying to show that they are just deeply interested in something. Again, we talked about this with freshmen. If you think you've got a mastery area that you really love, you got to look at the exam. You got to look at practice exams. You've got to see, is it worth what I'm going to be investing to get ready in this? Because it's going to be doing it outside of your regular classes at uni. A school who has APs is organically preparing that kid for the exam. It's just different. This is adding things on top of things for uni kids. And the question is it worth it?
But because we have like limited electives, would it like if it was in an area that we don't teach here, would it be a way to like learn more in a structured way to highlight something? Or do you feel like, again, like obviously you get more from being in a class and discussing with other people. If that's not an option, is that a way to kind of go about it? Or
I think for again, we but what's interesting about uni, and we've talked about this before, is we have to be careful that we're not just a school where sometimes parents who have connections to campus can then privilege their kid with opportunities to show curiosities that go deeper than uni, when other families who have no uni U of I connections or collegiate connections don't know how to find those opportunities, right? We've talked about before that can be a very different experience for kids navigating this school. So I think in a sense there are kids who are like, look, I can't find opportunities that don't cost a ton of money. I've tried to pound the pavement and get into someone's lab and I can't. I don't know if an independent study is what I want to do or not, but I really kind of enjoy reading about fill in the blank and there's an AP exam correlated with it. Now, again, if you're talking to that kid and they're like, I really want to get the textbook, like that would be super cool. I could see myself bringing it on road trips and reading in the back seat. If there's that kid may love taking that exam. But like I said, and I have to be careful that I'm not framing this conversation over just the heavy conversations that make me sad, because the majority of the conversations are kids that say, will this make me look good? I heard that. What if my friend's taking five? I should probably take six. Is it true that? And we're always just going, breathe, everybody. You chose to come here. And we've told you since day one, we don't teach to the AP exams. So then why all of a sudden does it become kind of this litmus test to them of rigor that surely a college isn't going to understand? And I have to just kind of, again, sit with them where they're at, know that they're coming from a place of love while I'm thinking, you do know there's over 100 years of alums who graduated from here before you. I think you're going to be fine. You know what I mean? It's like there's that feeling of surely this can't be right. Like they must need these. And you're constantly just trying to say, no, they honestly don't. They read you in context. If we were a school that had the international baccalaureate degree, right, that would be a completely different curriculum again. So the college has a responsibility to understand the context of your school. No one's going to penalize a uni kid for not having APs. But if they're the kid who wants to take them, the question is why? What is your motivation? And again, they know this. If it all comes out to, will this make me look better? I'm like, okay, sit down. We need to talk about what that means. Because that, I think, is creating some of this toxic environment of like, I've got to do more, got to do more. More is more, more is more. Actually, in college admissions, less is more.
Ooh, I like that.
I aim to serve.
So I can imagine that some students are listening to this and taking it in, but also still thinking, but what about like the top of the top schools, like the highly, highly selective schools? Are you sure that just having a few more APs when we're not an AP school won't show something about me that would be favorable to them?
So, I would be asking the student, what do you think high scores are going to tell the college about you? Okay. What
That's
is what?
smart.
Okay. I'm okay. And then, right. Then, what I always say to them, and I always say, I'm not saying this to be snarky or, callous or anything, but at those high reach schools that you might be referring to, Amy, they will always say, we don't need more smart kids. Everyone who applies is smart. So, another data point tells us, great, once again, guess what? We know you're smart. Thank you. Now, who are you? And I do think at uni, it's been very challenging to get kids to truly embrace. Like, it's not a formula. They're not tallying up points of you're smarter if you do this. And so many of even the essay prompts that are asked by these highly selective schools are bringing up things like resilience and gratitude and who do you appreciate? That's saying something because they've realized that they're building communities and just more and more smart kids who show data points of I excelled in this blank, fill it in, right? I excelled in this AP exam, or I excelled on my PSAT, right? Which can become an obsession for some kids about what about my PSAT score? Again, you're studying or not studying, but taking something that reflects 2 to 3 hours of your life, period. Where what you're building is a 3.5, 4 year story of who you are. So the question becomes, if they think that's going to make them look better, I would say, why? Sometimes you honestly have to figure out what are they trying to compensate for? Do they feel less than in some areas of their life regarding, I don't think I have shown that I'm a leader, or I don't think I have shown. And they get very insecure about that. And at a place like uni, it's sometimes hard to break into being a leader, right? Getting that title is not the goal, but I think a lot of kids obsess about that. I think they realize if they don't have leadership positions, all of a sudden they want to be the founder of a club. Well, then I better found it, right? Oh, you guys know that. That makes my head explode. Stop creating more clubs that overlap with the same mission. Collaborate. Figure out what your other clubs are doing and work together. But I think there's this warped definition of what they think makes them look better that creates these, I don't know, more testing, more data, more this. Ooh, more clubs, more titles, more inflating things. And the colleges can see through all that. And that is honestly not the kids they're looking for, which again is hard for people to understand, especially when you bring into this that family values impact college admissions, family values impact these decisions, family values impact where they apply. And there are a lot of parents who have been educated in systems where it was about the number. It was about the test score. It was about, right? It wasn't about this crazy notion of fit or, self-care, happiness. We never talked about those things. So we have to sometimes even sit and understand where is this coming from, because it sometimes even comes from a belief system that is honestly not the way that the American system is working today. It's a different landscape of admissions. And if, can I share one more thing about that? Because I was explaining to students, even test optional for SAT and ACT, people still don't believe it's optional. Surely it can't be. They're going to like read it. No, they don't read into it. It's optional. It was optional that you came to uni. It was optional that you joined these clubs. It was optional that you chose to be a kind person. And it's optional whether or not you send your score. It's not that hard to understand it's optional. Because prior to COVID, when there were schools that were requiring SATs and ACTs, their data was very transparent. The number one factor has always been your transcript. Number two used to be SAT, ACT. After COVID, even schools that went back to testing like MIT, Georgia Tech, okay, that SAT, ACT has moved down to the sixth most important factor in the review. It is still not important to them. So if there are other things that they value, narratives from teachers potentially, stories about who you are and what you join and why, how you make an impact in your community. Why then do we have a climate that they sometimes think one more AP score makes me look better, or one more U of I course makes me look better? Especially when you find out the U of I course is remote, or they're not even engaging with anyone in class, and there's no professor that's working with them directly. I'm only throwing that out there. There are lots of U of I courses where that deep engagement and collaboration is happening. But I think sometimes we see a lot that there's something in the water at uni where it becomes U of I looks better than uni as far as my classes. APs look better than no APs. But yet you could talk to a kid and say, so tell me why you've been doing this for 4 years, and they just like stare at you. And we're trying to bring out those stories in these kids. I am so desperately, so that they connect to again their purpose and their why. It's easy to just sit in a room and study and take an exam. It's a lot harder to think, how am I leaving uni a better place?
Well, you mentioned before that APs went from the second thing that they looked, or the no, the test scores went from the second thing that they looked at to like the sixth. So what are the other things that colleges are looking for to kind of quell and like help people relax a little?
Yeah, so definitely the first and foremost is how do you do in high school? So that is the classes you take, the rigorous level that they are. And again, we're at an all academic courses are honors school. They will look at, again, grades, what grade you earned, and if there's a trajectory of them maybe getting better as you get older. If there's a dip, they'll always want to know why, especially if there's a challenging class or you've had a special circumstance. So much that is first and foremost is how do you move through uni high on a daily basis academically? Schools that then have the ability to take teacher recommendations will then say the second thing is if we take them, which U of I doesn't, a lot of people are shocked by that. What do the teachers say? A letter grade's a letter grade, but what does it mean? So then if they take those, they value teacher letters. Counselor administrative letters are also a part of the puzzle for most schools. Again, U of I doesn't take those, but for other schools, they may want us as counselors or Dr. Majerus or our new administrator, Bridget, to be able to actually write about kids in a narrative way. We often are giving the floodlight of a kid, especially if we have to disclose they couldn't take French 4 because it was against a class they needed, or they tried to get into a U of I course, but there were barriers to getting into it, or there was a special circumstance or a concussion, or just kind of talking about them because you knew them well because they were subby buddies or whatever. We have the ability to write for students too. So when the, if they get essays from kids, which then can allow kids to talk about their purpose and their why. If they get a list of what they call the activity chart that says, okay, when you're not in class, what do you do? How do you, I mean, what do you value? What do you do when you're not expected to sit in class? That could be from everything from a club at uni to a religious organization to volunteering to a hobby to something that they completely do for a family responsibility because they're going over to their grandma's house twice a week and delivering groceries. The colleges just want to know what do you do when the high school doesn't own you? So when you think about all of those, then again, testing can seep in there around number 5 or 6 on their value system. But it is so much more about how are they making intentional choices and why? And how are they growing? What skills are they showing from those things? And when they leave uni high and they cross this stage, what will they feel like has been an area that has been a place they've made an impact? Or they're really feeling like I've grown from this and here's why. This is why, again, I know in health class we talk so much about self-reflection, journaling, thinking about who you are. That's hard. It's a hard skill to build. It's a hard muscle to develop. But so much of what happens to the students that are at uni, high achieving in APs and honors at any high school, if they're aspiring to schools that are highly selective, they expect these kids to know themselves more deeply than developmentally they probably are able to do. But these colleges have a right to push hard on these reflective answers if they're accepting under 10% of their applicant pool. You want to do those schools, you better be prepared to know yourself a lot deeper than just being a kid who happens to be smart and does well on exams. Another thing would be using, I talk about using your community. So if you're a kid who says, okay, I have interests and Uni High doesn't offer this. You asked that, Amy, about could the AP show something where maybe uni has doesn't offer an elective? I really like this, right? So I think I always tell students, keep in mind, you know, your learning is every day. Your learning even is over the summer. It doesn't mean it has to be in a classroom per se. But if you're really intellectually or just curious about something, no one's going to stop you, right? We saw 2 years of a lockdown for kids applying to college where every lab was closed. Every hospital to volunteer in was closed. Every place that they thought that they were going to show, ooh, I'm a much more deeper student than you think because look at what I'm doing. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, it's taken away from me. Those kids were given grace because they couldn't do those same things, but they weren't given grace to stop being curious. Curiosity is free. You can watch a TED talk, you can read a book, you can have awesome conversations with your teachers at lunchtime. So I think so many times we also have to help students understand that being curious isn't always just signing up for another exam, signing up for more courses, signing up for a 4-week summer camp. It might be good for some kids and not others. But I do think, again, we are in a population where I think sometimes it becomes more is more. Doing more and more and more means I'm going to look better. And sometimes that's just too distracting to a college because they're like, surely you got to be a kid in here somewhere, right? This is why I always say, what happened to getting a summer job? What happened to just being a kid and knowing that you have other things you're doing as a family? That's okay too. But I do think it's sad it's sad thinking that the kids, the things our teenagers today are worrying about are things I never worried about, never even thought that I had to do undergrad research as a high school kid. I mean, that pressure they feel is sad to me. And some kids thrive on it. Right, Christy? We've had students come in and go, I like that you guys care about us so much, but I thrive on being busy. And I'm like, okay, then you do you. You put that battery in your back and you go for it, right? But I do think, and I don't know how you guys feel, do you feel like you still sense, and you've been here long enough, Amy, and you've been here long enough, Christy, do you feel like even younger students are still feeling that energy of, I must be doing this to either hold my head high at uni or to kind of fit the mold of what they think they should be doing?
Absolutely. And I don't think it's just unique to uni. I think this generation of college goers, like you said, so many things have changed with admissions, and then I feel like everyone has this wrong idea of how to get into college, what colleges are looking for, and then they're just like, I need to do more.
And it's funny because, again, you guys know I came here in 93. So there were people sitting at conferences with me in 1993, right? Us young new counselors in the profession, or us young new admissions professionals. And some of those people from 93 are now the deans of admission, or they're the VP of enrollment management. These are people who went into this profession because they care deeply about this age group, they care deeply about college access and equity. They care deeply about building a class and not just enrolling a class. So, even though it may seem like a business or a game, right? The reality is there are some really kind, thoughtful people at the other side of the desk doing this job. And I talk with them daily. And it breaks their heart to have to say no to a kid. Because when you are an applicant and you listen to when we talk about finding your voice and being vulnerable in your story, right? I mean, that resonates with admissions. They want to know who this applicant is deeply. So imagine how hard it is then if they go to committee and they're advocating for someone and it just doesn't come through. Admissions reps are crushed too. It's not always an easy seat to be in. But they're not on the other side of the desk trying to make kids miserable. They're trying to actually find kids who joyfully love learning. If they apply, they understand why they're applying. It's beyond name and rank. And the college gets excited thinking, oh my God, like they see their fit, we see their fit. The hope is it's a mutual fit. And sometimes a kid may see the fit and the college doesn't see the fit. They can only control what they can control.
I think that's an excellent point to end on. You can only control what you can control, and spending time trying to do otherwise will just drive you bonkers. So, thank you, Miss Lisa, for being
You're
with us
welcome.
today. You're
Yeah.
amazing.
I hope,
We're
well, you guys are
lucky to have you
amazing.
as a resource
And
and
I
wealth of
know that
information.
our work with these kids, right? Holistically, everyone's just trying to make sure that we're thinking about everything from their health and wellness to their academic plans and what they want to do after uni. And I know this is a place that can sometimes create some environments that make kids confused, and make kids think that they have to do things that isn't necessarily their right path. So, the more we can help kids understand, do things that are right for you and seek guidance and input. It takes a village. We're all on this together. So thank you guys very much.
Yeah. And we will be having more conversations surrounding this, as this is just the podcast, but we definitely want to connect with students again and parents, especially in the fall as, AP registration rolls around again. So we'll continue this and continue to share information, for those who have questions. So to be continued.
Until then, go be you. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.